Whether you're just the one who picks up groceries for your elderly parent, or perhaps you're raising your grandchildren because of an absentee parent on their part, you're not just doing the right thing. Whichever scenario you find yourself in, you've now become part of a community of caregivers. I'm Marsha Lee, and this is the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving, where we help you answer questions that you have, help you find solutions, and offer assistance on resources that are available to help you as we discuss topics with the Upper Cumberland Development District. The Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving, you know, there are hopefully resources that we can help connect you with so that you can utilize them.
This is the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving on the Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry Podcast Center. Whether you're caring for your elderly parents or raising your grandchildren, life can seem overwhelming at times. Join Marsha Lee and the Upper Cumberland Development District as they help you make sense of it all as a caregiver. Resources, advice, and more starts now.
There are lots of different types of caregivers. There are lots of different programs for caregiving. I'm joined today with Connie Vasilev of the Upper Cumberland Development District. Now, Connie, I have a lot of experience with some of these programs simply because I have helped care for elderly parents. I have been a caregiver. So I'm familiar with a lot of these programs that we're going to talk about today. But the important thing for people that I think that they can take away from this is they don't have to figure all of this out alone.
Oh, absolutely not.
And that is something that I'm very fortunate that I found the resource in the Upper Cumberland Development District to help direct and guide me. And there are different ways that a caregiver can get help for loved ones. For instance, a loved one who needs in-home services. And I know I found myself in that position with elderly loved ones, as a lot of us do, but it's not, you know, it may not be just elderly loved ones. There could be a disabled child who is an adult that needs care. But what kinds of in-home services are available in the Upper Cumberland area, Connie?
Well, Claire was speaking earlier about some of our in-home programs options and choices. In-home services are basically bath attendants to come in and help the clients for safety, housekeeping, meals on wheels, caregiver services that can be paid for through some of these programs. Basically, things that allow the client to stay in the home safely and not have to go in a facility.
Because even with a great number of hours of in-home assistance, it is still for recipients of Medicare, who have Medicare, recipients of Medicaid, it is cheaper on Medicaid to provide those services in the home as opposed to 24-hour a day round the clock care in a facility.
Oh, absolutely. Both at the time and the availability, the services can be provided for clients at home. It's cheaper for the state. It's better for the client, especially clients that are suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's. It's better for them to remain in an area that they know, with things all around them that they recognize, as opposed to having to go in a facility.
Absolutely. And it's the thing about these programs, and it's through no fault of any particular state agency or anything like that, it is a lengthy process sometimes to get these things accomplished. And that's why I can't stress the importance. If you have an elderly loved one, if you have someone who desperately needs services, who has poor quality of life due to simply their age and medical issues, that someone who is an advocate for that person, whether it's a child or a grandchild or a brother or a sister, that they contact the Upper Cumberland Area Agency on Aging and Disability through the UCDD to try to get someone to help them navigate the system. Because having tried to do it on my own without that, I know that it's very difficult. And what sorts of services do you all? So I'm a person, I have an elderly parent who needs assistance. I don't know what to do. What do I do first?
Basically, the setup at this point, all you have to do is call in. And that starts the process. You can call
the 432-4111.
Right. Or you can call the Direct Choices number if you're interested in applying for the Medicaid program choices. We have a Direct Choices line, and that number is 931-476-4138.
Now, I know what Choices is because okay. I've had experience with it. Explain for some of our listeners who are not familiar with whether or not their parent needs Choices,
right.
or if they may meet criteria. Of course, this is not an end all be all our discussion, but how do I know if Choices is right for me? What does Choices stand for, I guess, first of all, and how do I know if it might be of benefit?
Well, Choices is a Medicaid or teen care program. Teen care and Medicaid are synonymous with each other. So, and a lot of people get confused with that. They're not sure if they're different things, but they are the same. Clients or their families will call in and they want home services. They don't know if they're eligible. They don't know if they make too much or if they're the family member is physically qualified, and they don't have to worry about that. That's what we do. We assess them. We have nurses that go into the home and do these assessments. We gather, help the families gather all the financial application necessary. We turn everything into teen care. We track it through the teen care system until there's either an enrollment or a denial.
And so pretty much then the setup is, I think my parent needs help or
Absolutely.
Potentially to be in a facility and they don't want to leave home.
Mm-hmm.
I call your office. I say, I want to have my parent evaluated for Choices mm-hmm. To receive in-home benefits. And then the process is they are assigned a nurse. The nurse then comes to the house and does the evaluation, and then take me to the next steps after that.
Well, while the nurse is out there, obviously due to HIPAA and other laws that are enacted, paperwork has to be signed by the client or
okay.
their power of attorney at that
sure.
point. The Medicaid application, all the paperwork's done all at once. The nurse will come back. She'll fax and get medical records. We assemble a medical packet. We turn that into the state. They determine medical eligibility. Then and only then is the Medicaid application looked at. That's why the process takes approximately 2 to 3 months, because both applications are not looked at simultaneously. They run concurrent to each other.
So let me put this scenario. If I have a elderly parent who already is on Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
but had not been on Choices. Mm-hmm. Does that speed up the process then?
It does, actually, because we don't have to do a Medicaid application on that client. Basically, at that point, they would still call into our office, talk to someone on the Choices line, and they would make what we call an MCO referral. We would refer them to whichever insurance company that they carry their teen care through. There are three insurances, Amerigroup, Blue Care, and United Healthcare. When we find out which insurance they have, we send them a referral telling them you have a client that's interested in Choices. You need to go out and do the assessment for that
client. So then at that point, they send someone
that's
to
correct.
Do the assessment.
We only do the assessments for clients on people that are not already on teen care.
So if a person is not already enrolled in teen care Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
then the person to do the evaluation comes from your office.
That's correct.
If the person is already enrolled in Medicaid, then it would come from their insurance provider.
That's correct.
Is there much difference really in what, I mean, are all three of those providers that you mentioned, the Blue Care, the United Healthcare, are their coverage is pretty similar across the board?
From what I understand, of course, I'm at the front end of
sure.
this process and not a case manager. They all, their paperwork is all handled the same. A physician, if they don't have issues with teen care, every physician's going to take Medicare first anyway. So
sure.
even if there's a huge plaque in the doctor's office that says, I don't take teen care, that's still okay. Because the Medicaid is still going to bill first. Medicare is still going to bill first.
Right. And just like we mentioned previously in other of our episodes, that you have to just, you know, you have to go through open enrollment, like for Medicare and things mm-hmm. like that. Is there a similar reevaluation period for these in-home services or Medicaid? Or
once a client is enrolled with Choices, they would be evaluated yearly. Some of the other programs, like options, they may go out twice a year and do evaluations to see if the clients need more or less services. But once they're enrolled with TennCare, speaking of the Choices program, we are hands off at that point. All we are here for is to help the client and their family or the neighbor or whoever calls in on behalf of that client to help them get enrolled. Once they are enrolled.
So you're the middleman.
We are. We are every bit of the middleman.
Oh, that and what a fantastic job you all do there. It's the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving with Marsha Lee and Connie Vasilev. Now, we have talked about some choices. We've talked about the Choices program. What's the difference between choices and options?
Well, as Claire was saying earlier, options funding comes differently. Choices is through Medicaid. The physical requirements between choices and options are different as well. You have to be basically nursing home eligible to qualify for choices. Therefore, you have to be needing assistance with several of your daily activities to qualify. Now, with options, there is less difficulty qualifying medically. You may not need to be being given a bath, but you may need meals. So you can apply for that one thing. Whereas choices is kind of an all-inclusive. You get a set number of hours per week and you can pick and choose what services that you want from those hours.
And one of the services that we have touched on a couple of different times is Meals on Wheels. How many, Connie, how many ways are there to get Meals on Wheels?
Right now, there are four different ways to access Meals on Wheels. The first way, obviously, would be to private pay for the meals to be delivered to the home. There are about $8.50 a day to be delivered. The second way would be to go to one of our congregate meal sites. Those are the senior centers. There's a senior center in all 14 Upper Cumberland counties. You can call the day ahead and let them know you're coming, and the meals are $1, I believe, at the senior centers. It's the same meal that's delivered into the home, but these are congregate meal sites. The third way would be to apply for the Medicaid Choices program. That is one of the services that is available. And then the fourth way would be to apply for options to get Meals on Wheels. They are evaluated per county, and there is a waiting list for several of the options program services, and they're reevaluated monthly.
So to get these services, in some respects, there can be a lengthy process to that. Mm-hmm. But the more you know, just like anything, the more you know in the beginning, the faster the process is going to be. So, for instance, someone is interested in choices or options for their senior parent, and they contact your office, and their parent does not have Medicaid, let's say. Do you all when that initial process begins, if I am trying to get someone registered for choices or options or evaluated, I guess I should say, do you kind of give any information on the front end about, okay, well, we're going to start this process. We're going to have someone come to your house. They're going to do this evaluation. In the meantime, you need to start collecting these things. Will that speed up the, do you all do that?
Part of what we call the intake process.
Okay.
And we have to get quite a bit of information over the phone from the person that's making the referral or from the client themselves. Like I said before, you don't have to be a power of attorney to necessarily start this process for someone for choices, but you would have to have personal information. We have to ask for date of birth and social security number and how much you have in the bank, and do you own your home? And there are very private personal questions that we need to ask.
And very, very specific information that you have to provide when the process gets to the Medicaid portion. Once you've gotten the approval, that's the first hurdle and one of the most difficult because there are certain criteria that delegate whether or not you can get these services.
Correct.
And that's not, it's not a personal, it's, There's no one that can control that. It's basically mathematical, isn't it? It's all ranked. You're given rankings during the evaluation. Is that how it works?
Yes. For the medical assessment part, you are given a score to see. And of course, that's just on the front end. We have to have medical records from doctors.
Absolutely.
To back that up. But there are also financial questions that we have to ask on the front end to see if that client would even qualify to apply for 10 care.
Right.
There is an income limit per month. There is an asset level. If you own a home, there is something called a state recovery that's involved. So there are lots of different things, both medically and financially, that we do have to delve into with a person over the phone. So that can be a little disconcerting, but we try our best to make it as comfortable a situation for them as we can.
Sure. And for these different tiers of coverage that are available, with that comes different tiers of income limits. I mean, it's not just a flat, okay, you know, if you make X amount of dollars, then you don't qualify for anything. It really, that changes dependent on your care level. Isn't that right?
For the Medicare savings programs, it is based on income for mm-hmm. different levels. With choices, there is actually a set amount for monthly income, and that is $2,313 now.
Okay.
Per month. And depending on if the client is single or if they're married, they do have asset levels that they're allowed to have at money in the bank. So that is a set amount, and that is something that we are required to ask everyone that applies, because if they are over that asset amount and they are unwilling or unable to spend down to qualify, then they will not be eligible for that program, and we would have to go toward options or another avenue of service.
Excellent information. And Connie Vasilev of the UCDD, thank you for discussing the details of choices and options plans. Now, if someone needs assistance, I know we mentioned it earlier, but who do they turn to? What's the best, most direct way to start the process if they have questions or need assistance?
The direct line for choices or options intake for the Upper Cumberland Development District is 931-476-4138. There are several different people that man that line and that are taking calls. Sometimes, depending on the level of calls, it may take 2 days before someone gets back with you. That would not be uncommon. We hope it would be less than that. But depending on the level of calls, that may be a 2-day wait before someone gets back with you.
Thank you so much. I'm Marsha Lee, and this is the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving, helping you know what resources are there and connecting you with the people who can help you utilize them.
Thank you for listening to the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving with Marsha Lee and the Upper Cumberland Development District. Check for new episodes or listen to past episodes on demand in the Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry Podcast Center at newstalk941.com.